She's just feeling it, brother. I didn't know where she's going with it.
I didn't get paid last week, and y'all have already got a new pastor this week. That's fantastic. That's all right. I'm a guest speaker, so that's fine. I didn't really know what I was preaching anyway, so, I mean, it worked out good, I guess. Oh, it's good to have fun in church, ain't it? You can laugh and cut up and just enjoy the day. You ain't got to be so stiff all the time. Amen. I don't like stiff church. I get tired of all that, the format of how everything has to be. I understand some structure is good and decently in order, but it's all right to laugh and cut up. It's all right to mess up, Brother Randy. It's all good. I like it because it means when I mess up, at least I know y'all overlook some of that too. Now, Brother Tim needs to... His role is a little different. No, it's good. Everybody messes up, and that's all right. Sometimes you just have to laugh and move on with it. I have just had a week. It's one of those things where you sit back and you try to figure out what you're going to preach, and you ask God to give you something, and He gives you about 15 different sermons. And no, I'm not going to preach all 15 of them, so y'all don't get worried about it. It'll be all right. I get everybody out on time. I do my best. But it's been one of those weeks where I couldn't pinpoint anything. I didn't really know what to preach, and I didn't know what direction I was going to go. And I really was hoping God was going to let me talk about Jacob a little bit. And I was going to go over to Hebrews and talk about him leaning on that cane. And I was going to talk about, are you thankful for your limp? And I was going to get into that story a little bit where he wrestles with that angel and all those kind of things and kind of go back through his backstory. But God didn't really give me that direction to go. So He kind of changed it. But the one thing that He did this week is He kept bringing up certain verses to my mind. And I'm one of those kind of preachers that I really don't care if you preach the same verses over and over and over again. But in your mind, you always want to try to give something new or something different, or you kind of want your gaps to be spaced out. But sometimes I sit there and I go, well, I go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 a lot. They're going to get tired of hearing it. And then I sit back and think, well, whatever God gives you to preach, maybe you ought to preach it and not worry about what they think about it. It kind of goes back to our Sunday school lesson. You got to renew your mind. You got to do what God wants you to do, not what always people want you to do. So I kept going back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you can open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I ain't got any notes. Amen. So this could be real short or real long. And we'll see how it pans out. I like to have notes. I like to be able to keep some kind of structure, but sometimes it don't work out that way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Hope they're all right. The Bible says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day that You've given us, Lord. I thank You for being able to come to church, Lord, and be able to just have a good time in church, Lord. I pray and thank You for us being able to meet here and worship You one more time, Lord. I pray that You just help us to get something out of the Word of God, Lord. Thank You so much for giving me a little bit of clarity on what I'm supposed to preach this morning, Lord. And I just hope You just put me out of the way, Lord, put me aside and just, Lord, help somebody to get something out of the Word of God. I pray if somebody's not saved, that they would get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. That's the most important thing that'll happen. God, we're going to give You all the honor and all the praise for everything that'll happen. In Jesus' name, amen. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You know, I sit back and I read scriptures like that, and I think about the day and age that we live in. And if you go over into chapter 4 and verse 1 and through about 4, you see that Paul is charging Timothy. And in verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then he goes on and he tells them, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we live in the day and age where that is happening. That is happening, and it's happening in just about every church you can go to. And I sit there and go through the week and I'm looking at different things and you're studying on different things and you get on Facebook posts and you start scrolling through all that world and you start seeing people arguing back and forth about the things of God. I want you to understand me. I don't mind debating anybody on Bible. Nobody. You got a Bible question? I don't mind talking about it. We can discuss it. We can discuss it and disagree on it. Okay? We can discuss it and at the end of the discussion, still disagree on it. And I'm fine with that, okay? I'm fine with that. That's not the point. But when you start getting to the point that you start belittling people, that's wrong. You see, as a pastor, there's certain things I have to do. I have to preach the Word. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. I have to preach everything in this book right here. And it has to line up with Scripture. I'm commanded by God to do that. And there's a way that I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to be instant in season and out of season. That one's tough sometimes. Sometimes you're not always just right there. But you have to be instant in season and out of season. You should be able to give somebody the gospel at a moment's notice. Just right there. If somebody wanted to get saved, do you truly know what to do to take them in the Word of God and show them how that they can know that they know that they know that they are saved? Do you know how to do that? You should. If you call yourself a Christian, if you believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that ought to be your reasonable service, is just to be able to sit there and say, I can show somebody how they can be saved. And I should be able to do that as a pastor. Be instant in season and out of season. There's also some certain things I need to do. I have to reprove. I have to rebuke. And those things are tough, right? Reproving and rebuking somebody can get really difficult. You know what that does not mean? That does not mean walking up to you and trying to beat you over the head with something. That is not my job. My job is to sit there and when you say, what do you think about this? And I give you Scripture to back it up and say, that's what I think about it. That's what the Bible says. When somebody comes up and says, you believe the King James Bible is infallible and inerrant word of God, inspired, yes, I do. I believe that King James Bible is. I don't believe any other translation. I don't believe you got to go back to the originals. You know how I feel about them originals, right? Go get you one of them. Amen. I just believe that book. I believe he can preserve his word. That's what he tells us. You see, that makes us different. That makes us wrong because we sit back and say, I just believe what it says. I just believe what it says. So I have to reprove and rebuke, but you see, there's also that thing called exhorting. That's different, right? You got to uplift people every once in a while. You can't just beat them over the head all the time. You know, there's some hard things that I've preached, and I understand that. I preach dispensations in Sunday school. Some of that stuff's hard to swallow, okay? I know, because it was hard when I was going through it to swallow some of it. Sometimes it's difficult to swallow that, hey, there's just one Bible. And sometimes in my mind, sometimes as a preacher, I sit back and go, I don't know how anybody could think that way, but it's not for me to be able to understand all that. Sometimes it takes a process. I don't want to sit here and just beat you over the head and try to force you to think the way I think. Force you to do it the way that I do it. That's not my job. My job is to reprove and rebuke. It's to help you. But then it's also to lift you up. It's also to lift you up. And I have to do it in a certain way. I have to do it with all, what, long suffering? That's hard too. Trust me. That one's difficult. I have to be patient. I have to understand that maybe you don't understand the things that I do about the Word of God. And I have to be willing to sit back and go, I have to wait. You have to take baby steps, right? We have to have a process that goes along with these things. Word of God is not complicated. It's just believing it. But sometimes believing it is difficult. And sometimes it's hard to believe it because of what you've always heard. Because what you've always heard might not always be right. Might be wrong. So it may be hard to swallow it every once in a while. So there's certain ways to do things, certain ways to handle things, and I understand that this world is waxing worse and worse. If you look up at, this just kind of came to my mind, in chapter 3. In chapter 3, in verse 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, if you do things the right way, people will be thoroughly furnished. They'll know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes you have to be patient. Sometimes you have to handle things a certain way in a certain... People don't always get it the same way, right? I'm one of those kind of people that I love hard preaching. I enjoy it. I love it when it just hurts. I mean, when they get up and just get on everything that you think is right, just wearing it out. I like that kind of preaching. Not everybody does. That ain't everybody's cup of tea. Guess what? That's okay. Not everybody has to like that hardcore kind of preaching. But the thing about it is, you still have to preach truth. I may not preach a sermon that's just beating you over the head, but I'm still going to give you the truth in love. But I sit back and I think about these things that Paul is talking about and how he's saying that things are going to wax worse and worse, and how he's charging Timothy to preach the Word, and he's telling him he's got to keep going even though maybe it's going to get tough. And he gets over in 16 and he says at my first answer, "No man stood with me. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Every single one of them left him. That day's coming. It's getting really close. It's getting really close to the day that when you stand for the Word of God, everybody will forsake. Every single one of them will leave. I know that it's coming because I can see it. You know how I know? Because I've been in enough churches and watched it happen enough times. You preach truth, somebody will leave. You want to talk about hurting somebody? You want to hurt a preacher? Walk out the door. It makes me sick. I will lose sleep over it. And some people say, "Well, you just can't worry about that." Bro, that's my job to worry about it. Do you think I don't care about you that much? I care about every single one of you. Can I make you stay? No, I wouldn't make you stay. If you don't feel like you need to be here, go. Go find you another church, get invested in that church, and get on fire for God. But man, it makes you sick when they leave. Especially when you're preaching truth. especially when you're just preaching what the Word of God says. You see, that's the problem. They leave because they don't agree with what you're saying, but yet they don't have any Scripture to back up what they think. That bothers me. But I can see it happening because they walk away, church after church after church. It happens in every place. I told you before, my dad says he's always in a church split. It's the reason why. The reason why is because he preaches the truth, and guess what? You offend somebody with truth. Ain't that amazing that truth offends people so much? Good night. All you got to do is just preach it like it says, and you will just make everybody mad. I never in my mind thought it'd be that difficult. I grew up in a church where, man, they preached some stuff, and I was like, there's no way. And then I'd read the Scripture and I'd get in study and be like, I guess there is a way. But I remember sitting there thinking, man, and you'd watch them come in and they'd be on fire for God and they'd sit there and they'd be like, man, I want to hear more. I want to get more. I want to learn more. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. I thought you wanted to learn something. I've watched them come into my dad's church and they'll sit there and they'll get on fire for God and they'll sit there and say, I want to know more about dispensations. I want to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. And daddy's like, I can help you. And he starts preaching it, and guess what? They get mad and they leave. They ask for it and they get mad and left. Blows my mind. I want to know more about the King James Bible. I really want you to prove it. Daddy gets up and proves it, and guess what? Well, I don't like that. That's not the way Grandpappy preached it. I got to go. It's kind of funny, though, because in about a year or so, they come back. You know why they come back? Because it's still truth. And truth is always the same. Truth don't change. Amen. Truth never changes. But you see, every flavor of the month might change. So they'll go to this church and he preaches it this way for a little while and he changes his mind on what he thinks. And then he goes to this church over here and he preaches it this way and then he changes his mind on what he thinks. You see, I don't have to worry about that because I have the Word of God. I just believe what the Word of God says and don't have to change. Now, I may not understand it all. Amen. I learn as I go. I may develop more, but the Word of God didn't change. It's always been the same. It's just the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what? It's always been there, and it always will be. One way or another. They may try to take it away. They may try to destroy it. But I'm here to tell you right now, they're not going to take it away. They're not going to take it away. But the day is coming when we're going to stand alone. You will stand alone. They'll all leave you. What are you going to do when that happens? When they all leave you, what do? Most of us get discouraged, because I do. Amen. When I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, I'm just trying to preach it right. I'm just trying to do the best I can. I'm just trying to be a blessing to somebody. I'm just trying to help somebody. I just want to see souls saved. Your mind is just going through all these things, and yet they just, it's like, man, why don't they see it? Why don't they understand it? And you get discouraged. So when that happens and everybody leaves you and you're standing there alone, well, then what do? You get upset and you quit, right? Amen. Come on, get real with yourself. You get upset and you quit. You get done. You get tired with it. I'm done with it all. It's easy to do that. And it's easy to want to. It's easy to get to the point where you're just like, I'm done with this. I ain't got time for all that. I ain't going to deal with it anymore. And preaching the Word of God is difficult. Preaching the Word of God is difficult. But you see, Paul is a little bit different person. Like we talked about earlier this morning, he's more spiritual than you, right? Amen. Because at the end of verse 16, he says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Boy, to say that. You understand what he's talking about here? He said, they all left me. They all forsook me. Every single one of them. They didn't want to hear what I had to say, to the point that they put me in prison after prison after prison after prison. They're going to cut my head off eventually. It's coming. I'm at the end of my life. I'm at the end of this thing, and it's getting ready to be over. But what's he say? God, don't put it on them. Good night, God. Don't put it on them. They don't understand, God. They don't understand. God, don't put it on them. He loved them so much to say, don't put it to their charge. Why? Because he cared about the people. He cared about the ones that he was preaching truth to. I can imagine him saying, you know, I reproved you and I rebuked you. I even exhorted you. And I did it with all long suffering. And I know sometimes it was difficult to handle the preaching. And when you left because you didn't like it anymore, because you didn't want to hear the truth anymore, Paul's sitting back alone saying, God, don't put it on. They're good people, God. They just need to hear the truth one more time. They just need to hear the gospel one more time, God. I can imagine him sitting there begging God, hey, just let somebody come by and just give them the gospel one more time. Just let them share Jesus Christ with them one more time. Don't be done with them, God. Don't quit convicting them, God. Don't put it on their charge. Just let somebody else tell them about Jesus Christ. Maybe give me one more opportunity. Do you think that way? When everybody forsakes you, when everybody sits there and says, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You ever sit back and go, God, help them. You pray for your enemies? Like I said, I didn't get a lot of amens on that. I guess y'all don't. Hard to pray for your enemies, ain't it? It's hard to pray for people that maybe you don't like so much. You want to talk about changing your mind like Sunday school lessons about. Do that. You know, I told you about the Monday and the Tuesday thing. You do that, but throw that in there. On Tuesday when you get up early and you read your Word of God and you get down on your knees and you start praying, throw somebody you don't like in that prayer. You talking about a blessing? You get you one then. I'm talking about find somebody you really don't care for. Pray for them all week. And don't be selfish in your prayer. I ain't saying get on your knees before God and say, hey, God, convict them and make them think the way I think. Because that's what you'll do. Amen. I hope they see it my way. That ain't what Paul said. Paul said don't put it on their charge. He didn't say anything about changing anything. He just said, just don't put it on their charge. I love you enough to just pray for you and just say, you know what, God, I think you can handle them. You ever thought about getting on your knees and praying for somebody like that? You ever thought about it? Why could Paul say all these things in verse 16? I think 17 kind of clears it up. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Who's the lion? We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. The devil. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He's seeking whom he may destroy. He wanted to break Paul, right? Could you imagine if the devil could have just got to him? How things would have changed. If the devil could have figured out a way to just destroy Paul's testimony, how the course of things would have changed. Paul is your apostle. You know that, right? He said, consider what I say and gain understanding in all things. Guess what? He's pretty important to listen to. If you want to understand things in the Word of God, you got to understand what He says. And He'll give you understanding in all things if you'll just listen to the apostle that you're supposed to listen to, which is Paul. Which is Paul. He told you what salvation was. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He told you what it was. He was the one preaching that gospel. I saw something this week, and I'll be honest with you, it bothered me all week. People post stuff on Facebook, and like I said, I don't mind biblical arguments, okay? I don't mind them at all. I think they're even good in some cases. This young man's learning a lot about dispensations, and he's got a lot of good stuff, okay? He's doing good. He put a lot of study time into it. And you can tell that he has. And he's pretty straight on just about most things. He posted a pretty good post on Facebook, and another preacher from in our area decided to just jump on this boy. Because he said that there was different gospels. Now, we've been through that in Sunday school, and I think I've made that pretty clear that there's different gospels. Okay? It's pretty easy to see that there's different gospels. They preach different gospels. But here's the thing. Whether you agree or disagree with that statement, why would a preacher jump on a young boy and embarrass him? To try to prove a point. To have an argument is fine. If all he had done is said Scripture versus Scripture, I'm good with that. I'm good with Scripture versus Scripture. But when you start putting them little crying smiley faces on there, you have stooped to another low. And this ain't a young preacher. This ain't a new pastor. This pastor's been doing it for a long time. But because he doesn't agree with dispensations and rightly dividing the word of truth, he jumped on the young man. Now, I'll give this to the young man. He held his ground. And he stood right with it. And he gave him Scripture for every single one. And he kept his composure. And he did it decently and he did it in order. And I amen to that. Because I'd have got mad. Woo, I'd have got mad. I was already mad and I wasn't even in the post. I was mad. Leslie knows. He was hot. I was ticked off. I was ready to write all sorts of stuff. Like I was just sitting there. I was like, Leslie, just let me. She said, you need to stay out of it. This is not. I'm like, but I could go. There's some scriptures he's missing and I got some good ones. Sitting there, man, and I'm just like, how can you do that to somebody? Belittle somebody like that. And me and my dad were talking about it, and we got to talking about some of these scriptures and sitting there thinking about how one day you'll stand alone if you believe that stuff. That young boy is just learning some stuff. He's in his early 20s. I'm going to try to have him come preach. I'll be honest with you. I've heard him preach a handful of times. I go to a preaching class every third Monday at Hopeful Riverside, and this boy preaches. He's 22, 23 years old. he can't keep a thought together to save his life when he's up preaching. But I'm going to have him come preach sometime for me just to let him preach. He just wants to preach. That's all he wants to do. I'm going to let him just come tear it all up. I don't care what he does. Just let him mess up. I don't care. Y'all can handle it. And I sit there and I listen to him preaching how on fire for God he is and all this stuff. And I sit there and thinking, that preacher just trying to beat him down. And I wanted to tell him, I was like, man, one day you're going to stand alone. You believe that way, you're going to stand alone. But when they all leave you, God be right there. Because truth don't leave. Truth don't change. Truth never has. God gave us the Word of God so that we could understand it, so that we could read it, so that we could study it, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rather dividing the Word of truth. If that's what we're supposed to do, and that's the reason why God gave it to us, guess what? I think we ought to do it. You ought to start rightly dividing. You ought to start reading it. You ought to start studying the Word of God so that you can help somebody else. So that you can show the gospel to somebody else. So that you can teach the Word of God to somebody else. We have that responsibility. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. Guess what? Maybe you ought to be. Maybe you ought to try it every once in a while. I think about these ladies that go back and teach them young people. One of them is my son. That's hard, I can guarantee you. Boy, I ask you 1,000 questions. But I think about them, those ladies that go back and they teach these young kids and how much responsibility you have to teach them what is truth. You have a responsibility to teach them right. And if we mess it up, man. Think about the responsibility as a preacher to stand here and preach the Word of God. You talking about overwhelming? Whoo! Try it. Get up every morning thinking, God, I can't do this. Every single morning. Not some of them. There is not a morning since I became the pastor of this church that I don't wake up and say, God, there's no way. I am not equipped to handle this. And God says, I'm right here. I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. Just keep preaching truth. But God, they look like they don't like it. Don't worry about it. Just keep preaching truth. But God, some of them left. Don't worry about it. Just keep preaching truth. But God, they might have more leave. Don't worry about it. Just keep preaching truth. Just keep preaching truth. Don't change. Don't change. Just keep preaching it. Preach the Word. Don't let them affect you. Just keep preaching what I put on your heart to preach. Because I'll stand with you when they all leave. He'll always be right there. He died on the cross for your sins. He hadn't gone anywhere. I accept Him as a 9-year-old boy, and He's never left me. He's never forsook me. He's always going to be right there. Every time. Every single time. He's right there for you too. When you sit back and you go, well, I don't know as much. Guess what? Just get in the Word of God and study it. He'll show you some stuff. He'll change the way that you think. He can make you what He wants you to be. You say, I don't know what God has in store for me. Guess what? Start opening some doors and walk through some stuff. You'll find what God wants you to do. But you have to try. You have to try. You have to be willing. You say, but it's lonely. It doesn't matter. He's right there. Grasp that. He is right there. It don't matter if they all leave. He's all that's ever mattered. He's all that has ever mattered. It's all about God. Quit trying to make it about everybody else. Quit trying to make it about you. It's just about God. That's all that it is. I love the nice buildings. I love the church. I love New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I love all you people. But I'm telling you right now, it's all about God. It's all about God. If we ever get away from that, this is just a club that comes and meets and talks about stuff. And I don't want to be that kind of church. I just want to be the church that says, you know what? They preach truth over there. They love on people. But man, they'll tell you truth. They love on people. They'll come talk to you. They'll help you in any way possible. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to give you the gospel. I'd love to be known for that. I'd love to be known for that as a church. You sit back and they say, well, man, they came over here and they helped us do this, and they helped us in this situation. We didn't have money, we didn't have food, and they helped us all. But do you know what they did? They gave us the gospel before they left. Because that's what's important. The food, the money, all the stuff that you can do to help people, that don't matter if they don't know Jesus Christ. God's always right there. He'll stand by you in every moment in your life. He'll help you. He's always been right there. When they all leave, guess what? God's still there. He's good. He died on the cross for your sins when you didn't deserve it. He gave you a free gift of salvation. He loved you that much. He loved you so much that He would just die for you. My question this morning, as Miss Barb comes and plays, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please come get that settled. I can show you in the Word of God how that you can know that you know that you're saved. You say, well, you say that every week because I don't want there to go 1 week by that you don't hear somebody say, hey, you can just believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and you can be saved. You can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to preach that until God don't let me preach no more. I will always give you an opportunity to get your salvation settled. Always. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I don't care how old, how young, it doesn't make any difference. I'd love to be able to take the Word of God and show you how that you can know that you know that you're saved.